This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. I don't sound like Frank, do I? Again, he's not here. I hate him so much. He's on a cruise, so I'm pretending I'm Frank. And I'm joined in the studio by my good friend, Lorraine Flanagan.
Hey, Charlie. How are you this morning?
Wonderful.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for inviting me on the show.
Well, thanks for coming. I mean, it's lonely here with nobody. I'm so glad you came to be my friend.
Oh, no problem. Anytime, Charlie.
Yeah. Well, Lorraine's been here before, so she's an old hand at this hanging out at the radio show with me. She is a put in quotes, retired master gardener.
I am. Yeah.
She's a blogger. She's a keen gardener. She's a traveler, man. This woman... Woo! Travels, garden stuff all the time. Remember you Skyped us? Was that Singapore?
Oh, my God. That was from Japan.
Oh, Japan.
Yeah, the Gardening World Cup in Japan.
Yeah,
in Osaka.
Great,
yeah, that was great.
It was really fun. So Lorraine's been on the show from all over the world. And even you did that Via Rail train ride across.
Oh, across the country.
Across the country. You
yes.
checked in with us a few times.
Starting out west at Butchart Gardens and then traveling right across the country and ending up in Newfoundland. Yeah, that was fun.
How fun that
was exhausting, too.
Really?
Yeah, but fun.
Why? I thought the train would be relaxing.
It's in between the train. Yeah.
Oh, in between, you had to do a lot of, like, PR stuff and media stuff.
Well, just talking and walking through the gardens, some of the gardens. Oh,
huge.
A lot. Well, huge and gorgeous.
Gorgeous,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was kind of May, yeah. So we started the gardening season out west.
Yeah, and follow ended, the weather kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, exactly. Huh. Exactly.
And, of course, Lorraine's going to be, again, on the road. Next Saturday, where will you be?
I'm going to be at the Philadelphia Flowers Show,
cool.
which opens next Saturday.
So you're there for opening day?
Yeah.
Or the day before?
The day before for the media tour.
Kind of like Chelsea, they have the day before for the media.
Yes, for the media. And I'm hoping to sort of do Facebook Live. So if you follow Lorraine Flanagan on City Gardening at Facebook, then maybe you'll have a sneak peek on the Friday during the media tour. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, so you'll walk with a camera and be able to, like you say, put it directly
onto Facebook.
Stream it directly.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah,
she's a techno geek too.
Unbelievable. If it works.
All right, we'll chat more about that. Let's get the phone numbers out there because, you know, we do want to hear from others.
We do.
We have people listening who might have questions. They might have some good stories they want to share.
Yeah.
They might want to hear more about some of your amazing travels or maybe find out if you're organizing a tour and jump on your bus to Philadelphia, which you're not doing. I know you're going on your own. But however, give us a call if you're in the local calling area. It's 416-360-0740. If you're long distance, it's 1-866-740-4740. Okie doke. A couple of things coming up. This Wednesday, March the 8th, 7:30 p.m., the Scarborough Garden and Hort Society is hosting a general meeting and free presentation entitled Happy Houseplants. There will be a representative from Sheridan Nurseries on site to present the Happy Houseplants speaking. Of course, refreshments are included. Guests are always welcome. And they meet at the Scarborough Village Community Center on Kingston Road and Markham Road. Also this Wednesday, I'm at the Riverdale Hort Society.
Ah.
And, of course, they meet at the Frankland Community Center, 816 Logan Avenue, just south of the Danforth. 7 p.m., it's a regular meeting. with a flower show, and I will be speaking on great gardens with less water.
Whoa, that's great,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah. Heather Sinopoli, the president, asked me specifically to speak on that topic after the summer we had. This super
so
droughty.
Dry. Yeah.
Okay, week Monday, the Agent Court Garden Club is hosting their meeting, 8 o'clock, Knox United Christian Education Center, 2575 Midland at Shepherd in Toronto. The guest speaker is Wolfgang Bonham, speaking on the gardens of Thailand.
He's another
one of those traveler people.
There are some fabulous gardens in Thailand.
Yeah, and he's definitely been there more than once. Okay, there's also a seed exchange, lots of fun, and a dessert and coffee table, free parking, can't go wrong. Guests always welcome, as usual. All right, quick break while we listen to some of our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All right, I pressed the right button. We're all good.
We've got technology down pat.
I know.
Here. Really.
I really rely on Frank to do a lot of things. I don't tell him that, though. He might think that, you know, he has an important role here. We're fine without him. All right, we have on the line Jane calling us from Chatham. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning. I was wondering about diplodemias. Mm-hmm. Is it possible to propagate them?
Oh, yeah, for sure, from cuttings.
From cuttings?
Yeah. What's your diplodemia looking like right now? What does it look like? Has it got lots of green leaves?
Yes. It's got long, long stems, too.
Okay. And you've got a nice sunny window, obviously.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now with the days obviously longer, I mean, it's just, bright this morning when I woke up.
Oh, really sunny.
Love it.
Yeah.
And super bright day today. So with the longer days and the, you know, more intense sun, the plants are responding. So as we're getting that flush of growth, and of course, we're watering a little more now with more sun. We could even be fertilizing starting now that it's March, you know, once every 2 weeks fertilizing our houseplants. You will see that you're going to get some real, you know, soft new shoots on that plant. And all you need to do is cut off, you know, 4 to 6 inch tip cuttings. Just make sure that you remove leaves. Two sets of leaves because they're
at the bottom of the stem.
Yeah, at the bottom
where
we've made that cutting. And it's from the point where you've removed the leaves that the roots will come. So it's just inserting that cut end either into something like perlite or sand. Or sometimes people will just put the cuttings right into water and eventually roots will grow and then it's potting them up.
So would you put 2 or 3 stems in a pot?
I would.
Just one?
No, I would put a couple. Okay. It'll be a much better looking plant.
Yeah.
Ultimately, because you want that really full, bushy look.
And quickly, too.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You want it to look great for the, you know, by May, June, you'll be putting it outside. Actually, you're in Chatham. You might be outside before that.
I have daffodils almost blooming.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah.
So can you actually see the bud, like the flower buds have emerged, but they're not
open? I can see the bud.
Oh, wow. What's the temperature in Chatham today?
It's down around 0.
Okay.
But last week was wonderful.
Oh, last week was like June.
Yeah.
It was just nuts. So I've seen some green bulbs poking up, but I haven't seen any of the actual flower buds above ground
here. Yeah, these are around 6 inches tall.
Wow. But it's going to be cold tonight, so if anybody's worried and, you know, you don't want anything to get frosted off, if you've got any dry leaves kicking around, consider sort of putting some piles of leaves around any of these very tender things that have come up early.
Just to protect them a bit.
Because I heard it's going to be like minus 25 in Peterborough tonight.
Oh,
and it's like minus
ouch.
15, I think, here tonight. So I don't know what the Chatham outlook is for this evening, but I'm well below 0, I would think.
Yeah, no, we're just around 0.
Okay, good.
And then by a few 3 or 4 days from now, it's going to be 50.
I know.
Yeah.
And pouring rain. So happy spring.
Thank you. Thank you for your advice.
Thanks for calling. All right. Take care of Chatham, as Frank would say. Okay, well, let me give the numbers just to make sure everybody who wants to call is calling because we do have some open lines. Local number 416-360-0740 and long distance 1-866-740-4740. And we have Helen on the line from Toronto. Good morning, Helen.
Hi. I'm calling about an amaryllis.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, I've had a lot of different, you know, bulbs, usually either given to me as a gift or I buy just the kit, which has got the pot,
right.
Potting medium
all in
and
the
everything.
Box. Yep.
But this year I decided that I was going to try and keep it and nurture it and see if I could get it to rebloom.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if what I'm seeing is normal or not, but I've got white things. They look like little worms coming up in the pot, which I believe are the roots.
Oh.
Okay, so this is an amaryllis you planted this past Christmas, or in the last couple of months?
I'm trying to get this to grow again, but no, I planted it in November, the end of November, and it bloomed.
It bloomed, yeah.
I had gorgeous blooms. I had two beautiful stalks on it.
And the flowers are
finished.
And now
I have green leaves,
perfect.
You know, gorgeous green leaves on it.
And
that's all.
Okay, so just to clarify, so and was this one that came in a kit, or is this one where you bought the bulb and then you bought soil?
No, this one came in the kit.
Right.
So I planted it with the potting medium the pot that it came in, and then I set that inside another heavier pot to give it stability.
Good idea, actually.
Yeah,
very, with those flowers.
Exactly.
Okay, so, all right, now the white things, are they actually moving?
No.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm just, I guess, to try and explain to you what they look like.
Look like roots.
They look like white worms, but if you touch them, they're roots.
That's one happy amaryllis.
Really? It's going to jump out of that pot.
Climb right out.
Yeah.
Well, and when you potted it, you did make sure that the bulb sits up about one-third of the bulb is out of the soil and two-thirds or half roughly is under the soil. So that's right.
And it still is.
Yeah. And they usually will give you quite a small pot, which is what amaryllis like.
They like it tight.
Yeah.
They want to be really cozy in there.
So that's probably why you're seeing those roots. But that's good, because that just means it's that much more stable in the pot. And all those green leaves, of course, are absorbing sunshine, making all kinds of wonderful energy, carbohydrate, storing that in the bulb for next year's flower. So it's all good.
It's not like what I'm not to be concerned about when, because I thought, okay, maybe I just throw it out. Maybe this is ridiculous.
Oh.
No. Hold on to it. And then as the weather gets better, which maybe even next week, we'll be looking at taking plants like the amaryllis outside once we're frost free and allow it to grow all summer outside. Just tuck it into some spot, shady, half sun, half shade sort of spot in your yard, and let it be a green, bushy plant all summer. And at the end of August, just put it away somewhere where it won't get any water and any light, and just let it go dormant for 8 or 10 weeks before you wake it back up.
And do I leave it in the pot then?
Yep. Leave it in the pot the whole time. Don't even think about unpotting it.
Well, I'm thinking this will never go back in by the look of it.
And they'll set little baby bulbs too around the base, right?
Oh,
little
cute.
Bulbils.
Yeah, little daughters
will often grow. So
would
yeah.
they grow visibly? Would I see them?
You'll see them. You might not see them this year, but you'll see them eventually. Little daughters, that's what they do, right? So let it grow. Enjoy it.
Well, okay, I just got concerned, and I thought, oh, well, maybe something's happening. Maybe I'll just pitch it, because this is crazy. It's not going to work. But if you're telling me this is healthy, this is good, then I'll just keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, it sounds
like a really happy amaryllis.
Well, I won't move it then. I'll leave it where it is. It obviously must like where it is then. So.
Good job. Thank you. Let us know how that turns out.
I will. Thank you.
All right.
Have a good day.
You too. All right, so let's... Pretty fun, eh? Are you having fun yet?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good to hear.
Know what? I love amaryllis at this time of the year as well, because usually people pot it up before Christmas so that they have amaryllis at Christmas. I'm a little perverse.
I pot
them up in January so that they're blooming in February, early March. Because don't we need flowers at this time of the year?
We sure do. And actually, speaking of flowers, I was just in my local Sheridan nurseries this past week. And when you walk in the entrance, it was all bulbs.
Oh,
and it smelled amazing. It was
fantastic.
So cheerful, but all the hyacinths raw. I love the fragrance of hyacinth. So those were lovely as well. All right, we'll just take a very quick break and be right back.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All right, and we're still here. I was going to say, we're back. And look at what we've got happening here. Jane, who was our first caller, has called back from Chatham, and I didn't even mention our mantra, which is call early, call often, one question per caller. So she's fulfilling the mantra. Welcome back, Jane.
Thank you.
Good for you. Take advantage of those open lines.
Yeah, last week you mentioned something about spraying plants with salt and water. I have always used water and dishwashing soap to get rid of little bugs that are at the stem, little white spots.
Yes, but I wouldn't. Did you say I said to use salt and water? No, it might have been soap. Soap and water.
I changed it, my phone. What did you just say? I'm sorry.
Yeah, did you. Soap and water, I might have spoken about last week. I'm just looking back at last week. And I thought you might have said salt and water, but no, we never spray with salt.
Oh, that's what I wondered. I thought that's what you said. Okay.
Okay, so soap and water. The thing about detergent is detergent will not kill bugs. Detergent will wash your plants, makes them nice and clean, but it will not kill bugs. There are emulsifiers in detergent that is not in soap. And so the emulsifiers cause the sudsy stuff to not stick to the bodies of the bugs. And it's we want the suds to stick to the bugs because that's how they get suffocated, is when their little bodies are coated in soap, they can't breathe.
And so when you say soap, though, Charlie, what are you talking
it's
about?
It's got to be real soap. Well, it could be dish soap, but it's got to be soap and not detergent.
And like a bar of soap? That work?
Well, yeah. As long as it's soap.
Yeah.
Right? So, what's out there that's typically soap. I mean, there's probably more and more soaps out there now than there used to be, just because there's a lot of those green products out on the shelves these days. I mean, I always think of, I don't want to promote any one brand, but I always think of Ivory Snow. That was the classic soap because it wasn't detergent. Right. But you'd have to just read the package. And it's 40-1 is the mix. 40 water, 40 parts water, 1 part soap.
But you're talking about a liquid soap.
Yep. Yeah. Well, or that'd be the easiest way to mix it up. I mean, you can also buy it mixed up for you on the shelf in any good garden center, made by Safers, and it's called Safers Soap, and that's mixed up for you. That's ready to go. And again, following the directions, sprayed on the little bodies of the insects, they will die.
Could you use a bath wash soap?
As long as it's a soap. And I would, that's an interesting point. I would recommend doing your spraying in the bathtub.
Because,
you don't want to overspray onto furniture or curtains or anything like that.
Yeah.
Also, you do not want the plants in the sun when they are getting sprayed with soap. Soap is, it's amazing how hard it is on them. I've seen plants just turn black right before my very eyes. Sprayed with soap on a sunny day. So make sure they're in the shade.
And you don't have to rinse the soap off after.
I would, leave the soap there for 20 minutes, half an hour, and then a clean water rinse, and then back into the regular location in the window or wherever the plant was.
And do this 2 or 3 times within like two weeks in between or something?
Depending on what insect it is you're trying to kill, many insects have very quick generations, as you point out. So there's kind of a rule of thumb every 7 to 10 days you would spray. You probably need to spray twice, depending on what insect, again, you're trying to annihilate.
The little tiny white one right at the stem where the leaf comes out.
And does it have wings?
I never see a bug. I just see the little white spots.
Oh. Go ahead.
No, I'm just wondering what you said about the different generations of the bugs. It's also important to spray the soil around.
In the surface,
Because there might be larvae, and under the leaves.
Yeah, the entire
plant. Really be really thorough.
Exactly. Yeah. In order for soap to work, it's a thorough spraying that's required.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, if you're seeing little white spots, are the white spots the bugs or the white spots are the damage?
No, my son said they are the bugs.
Oh, okay. So they could be aphids if they're right on the tips, if they don't have wings. If they do have wings, there's a famous insect called white fly. Looks like a fruit fly, but it's pure white, flies around. And their eggs are almost clear, but they're on the underside of the leaves.
Yeah,
so again,
just between the stem and where the leaf comes out.
Yeah, so thorough spraying. Good idea.
Okay.
All righty.
Thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
All right. We're going to be best friends with Jane.
Yeah, absolutely. Do we give out prizes?
For what? Multi-callers?
Yeah.
Frequent flyers? Frequent callers?
Yeah.
Well, if we did, our lines would be jammed. Here's the numbers quickly. For those of you that haven't put this into the speed dial on your phone yet, 416-360-0740 is the local number, or long distance, 1-866-740-4740. And we've got Nihal. Nihal is calling from Brampton. Good morning.
Good morning, Charlie. How are you? I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Okay. I have a question about the fruit trees.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of... Hello?
Yep, we're here.
Yeah, I have about 5 different fruit trees in my garden. Mm-hmm. And every year I have blemishes. And I remember when I called last time, you said it's lime sulfur and dormant oil is the time to spray. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Is this the time to do that?
Almost.
It's a little cool?
Okay, so here's what you need. Because, yeah, Lorraine was just saying a little cool still. Like today is too cool because, first of all, the temperature must be above zero.
Above zero.
And it must stay above zero for 24 hours after you spray. So this is where you watch your forecasts. So 24 hours of above zero temperature, no rain in the forecast for that same 24 hours, and preferably very little wind. Because when you're spraying with oil and lime sulfur, you want a still day as possible so you can be as effective as possible with your spray. So next week, as Helen mentioned, or maybe it was Jane mentioned, that it's going to be, very, very warm.
It's going to be spring.
It's going to be double digits here in the GTA, but it's going to be a lot of rain as far as I know. So you're just going to have to watch the temperatures.
Okay. Is this okay for all fruit trees?
Yes.
I see.
Hold on. Let me think.
Back, this product was not really freely available in most of the garden centers. Is it now? Is it legalized?
Sorry, what in the garden centers?
No. This lime sulfur and dormant oil is not a product that will sort of... environmentally unfriendly.
Oh, no, not at all. It's 100% organic. And it's completely available on the shelves. It is not held under lock and key because it is a very light horticultural oil. I mean, you could, use it to cook your eggs. It's just a very light, oil. And lime sulfur is just what it sounds like. It's lime and it's sulfur and it's mixed together and it smells like rotten eggs.
Right. Okay.
So it's a liquid and you do follow all the instructions. Typically, you'll find... It should be in the stores now, whether it's a garden center or a home store of whatever kind. It'll be in a box. And the box will say dormant spray kit. And inside the box will be two bottles, a bottle of oil and a bottle of lime sulfur. And you'll need a sprayer if you don't have one.
Oh, yeah.
Because you mix these two items together with water and spray.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I ask one more question?
Technically not. Remember what I said? One question per caller, but you may call back. Thank you. See? Told you. Sneaky. Frank always says, Patrolman Proctor's going to pull you over and give you a ticket.
Whoa.
His son is a police officer, so he just pulls that off so well, it just comes naturally. All right, let's say hello to Elaine. She's calling from Mississauga. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Morning, ladies.
Morning.
I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, congratulations.
We don't have a bell.
Ding, ding, ding,
Frank
ding, ding.
Took the bell with him.
He took it on holidays, I'm telling you. The bell needed a break. Welcome. You've got your garden wings even without the bell.
Thank you. And I'm a beginning gardener, too, so
nice. Good
I need those wings.
Don't we all?
I have two boxwoods that I planted 2 years ago. And I asked the nursery at the time, I said, the house is facing north, so would it be good to plant them facing north? And they said they would be fine in that location. Mm-hmm. And so I planted them, and they also recommended some stuff called Parkwood Transplanter 515-5, and I used that. Mm-hmm. So they've survived 2 years.
Good.
And they look good, and they're green, and they're sturdy and healthy-looking, but they're not growing. They're the same size as they were 2 years ago, so I'm wondering if the soil needs amending.
When they were planted 2 years ago, was the soil amended at that time?
I just planted them in the soil that was there, and it's kind of hard clay.
Mm. That's probably what's going on. So remember that in order for the top part of the plant to grow, the roots have to grow because it does balance out.
Mm-hmm.
It is possible that in that heavy clay soil, there hasn't been a lot of root growth, which would be what's going on above ground. Not a lot of growth, but boxwood can do well in a fairly clay soil because they do like that moisture that clay provides.
Mm. Okay.
I would this spring get myself, it's just two boxwood, or perhaps it's even a bigger garden, but for just the two boxwood alone, I'd probably get one bag, which is usually about a 30-liter bag of composted manure.
Okay.
And I would gently rough up that soil, that existing soil, and just apply that composted manure on top of your existing soil. Again, very gently cultivate, not deep, because the roots tend to be quite shallow with boxwood.
Okay.
But you'll find that, you know, the manure will percolate its way down, the worms will come up and take it down. So you don't need to do a lot of digging, but get that onto the boxwood. And is it possible, do you have like a maintenance person who looks after your garden at all, or do you do it all yourself?
He just cuts the grass.
Okay. Because I was going to say, is it possible that your staff have done some trimming on your boxwood and you didn't
no,
know?
No, they haven't touched it.
Yeah, okay.
Touches it, right. No.
Yeah, because you should see. Now, they're not fast growers. But
they're not. They're slow, yeah. But there should be a tip.
About an,
yeah.
an inch a season.
Yeah.
What I was wondering, in November, the year I planted them, I also bought a big bag of wood chips.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it around the bottom. Mm-hmm. And then in the spring, I was going to take it off, and my friend said, no, leave it on. So I wondered if leaving those chips on in the summer maybe wasn't good for them.
No, it's fine. Actually, particularly last summer when there was such an extreme drought going on, the wood chips helped keep weeds down, helped keep moisture in the soil.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a good thing.
So that they have it again. So this spring, I don't have to take the wood chips away?
No. Well, what I would do, though, is because you're going to get that manure, pull the wood chips away, put the manure around the plant, around the base of the plants, put the chips back.
Okay.
But make sure that the chips do not touch the stems of the boxwood. Make sure that the wood chips are at least an inch or 2.5 centimeters away from the stems.
Okay.
So, but you want your chips to be, 5 to 10 centimeters deep, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 2 to 4 inches deep.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So you might have to get more chips. And that's probably why you're also not seeing a lot of growth. Whatever nutrition is in the soil, the nitrogen that helps the plant grow has been being utilized
by the
microorganisms that are breaking down the chips.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Because that does happen. When we don't see a lot of plant growth, we know that the nutrient is not available to the plants. So definitely get that manure on and you'll see a big difference.
But is it okay if I take the chips away anyway? Like if I just want to take them away?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people like the look and the smell. Mm-hmm. And like I said, keeps the weeds down, keeps the moisture in, keeps the soil cool when it's hot July weather. Mm-hmm. But great idea to take them away in the spring. Consider putting them back in place for June, July, August.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. Don't be a stranger, right?
First-time
callers, don't be a stranger. Coffee's always on.
Oh, okay. Well, where's my coffee, Charlie?
I offered you coffee. You don't even drink coffee.
Oh. Oh, yeah, I don't. Yeah.
Good point. All right. I think we better just do a very quick break. When we come back, Lorraine's going to tell us a little bit more about what she's getting excited about that she's going to see at the Philadelphia Flower Show next weekend.
Woohoo.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Okay, Lorraine is just giving me the backstory on the Philadelphia Flower Show. I have never been to the show. I'm sorry to say, I'm sad to say, but you said you've been 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, it's a fantastic show. I really enjoy it. It's
Give us a little story on it, because this is the oldest flower show in North America.
Absolutely. The Philadelphia Horticultural Society.
Mm-hmm. 1829.
Oh, my God. Well, I don't remember that far back.
No.
No,
old,
I didn't go
that
to
old.
That first show. No, I didn't. It's been going on for a long, long time. And honestly, the Hort Society members actually grow some phenomenal plants to put in. So there's actually a flower show part of it so that you can enter your Clivia or whatever
like
you
have.
Like
there's the competitive aspect.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
Okay.
And those are phenomenal.
Mm.
And then there's the other section, which is the designers, the landscapes, the display gardens. Mm-hmm. And this year, the theme is Holland. Mm-hmm. So there are some phenomenal designers that are showing at this year's show. They're going to do this ecodome thing.
Right.
This is the designer here is Nico Wiesing, who I met in Holland when I was there a couple of years ago. He is like Mr. Sustainability.
Oh, neat.
Really, really, yeah, interesting. He uses all sort of eco-friendly materials, and his planting plans are gorgeous. So that's one garden that I'm really looking forward to seeing.
I bet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how would that happen? Would they have invited him to come to put this in?
Yeah, right. They would have.
And they would have supported him financially to do it, obviously.
Well, I think they do, mm-hmm. but I think also the government of Holland has been mm-hmm. involved as well and are sponsoring a lot of the designers in this show as well.
Do you anticipate seeing a few bulbs?
I think there might be one or two tulips to tiptoe through, and maybe a windmill or two as well.
And maybe a few wooden shoes.
Maybe. Too. Oh, I'm bringing my own.
You have your own. And they're so comfortable.
They really are. Yeah.
But yeah, it's quite a big show, and there's
it's
a lot
huge.
Going on. So they've got plant societies set up. They've got exhibition, so competitive. Then they've got just exhibitors that are not competing. Then there's, you know, like I say, the landscapes that you're quite excited about, and that's usually the best, right? That's the, that's where you...
They're knockouts. They really are.
And you walk into these gardens.
You walk in. Well, some of them you can't walk into. It's like the Chelsea Flower Show where you can't walk in.
Where it's all out. Yeah, you
Walk it's
in.
Outdoors. This one is indoors, of course. But, generally you can walk all around it, though, and take a really good look. And they're very, very creative.
Yeah.
These are world-class designers. And really, the designers from Holland are leading edge.
I was going to
really
say, cutting edge all the
really,
way.
Really, really.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They're just, whether it's, you know, horticulture, they're definitely cutting edge. But then, exactly, like design and some of the innovative techniques and products that they're using.
Products. Oh, environmentally friendly products. Just amazing. Yeah, but some of the other things that happen at the show, which I did last time I was there, they have these make and take sort of sessions and workshops. So you can go and, you know, make a floral fascinator for your hair if you want.
That sounds like that'd be right up your alley.
It's just a fun show, and you can learn a lot, too, because they have, of course, lectures and talks ongoing throughout the show.
I see they have wine tastings.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Make and take. They are world
market.
There's
make and take.
Yeah. There's a garden spa, which is brand new this year. All right. Well, I expect to get
a report.
Report from you.
Okay.
Now, whether we'll get a live report from you next week from the show or whether we'll get you to report the following week when you're back.
You'll let me know.
Okay.
I'll let your listeners know.
Thank you. Because we're all going to be on the edges of our seats just wanting to know, how did it go in Philadelphia? And, of course, next week, Wayne Gale is going to be here. Keeping me company. He's the president of Stokes Seeds.
Oh, fabulous.
And Stokes is one of the sponsors of the show, and I just thought it's a great time to let's talk seeds.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Wayne's going to fill us in on some of the new varieties that are designed specially for the balcony gardener who's looking for dwarf vegetables, for example.
Nice.
Or, you know, good container seeds to grow, as well as, you know, the more traditional garden plants that are cutting edge because, you know, Stokes, they're always testing and trialing.
They really are. Yeah, they have some fabulous trial gardens there.
Sure do. I've seen them. Okay, I think we have a minute or two here. Let's go. We've got more than a minute or two. Oh, we lost John.
Oh, no.
Who was on the line.
Oh,
and
no.
And I guess he got tired of listening to us, or maybe he had to go do something. But in the meantime, let's talk to Mary in Brampton.
Okay.
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. Question, clematis. I planted it last year, didn't do anything, and my husband was very upset. What's the care of a clematis? Just get it started.
Leave it alone.
Okay.
That's the care. Over my years of helping and, you know, working retail and obviously doing the radio show, I can't tell you how many times people have said to me, I planted my clematis. It didn't do anything. So I moved it over here, and it didn't do anything. So I moved it over there, and it didn't do anything. And I go, leave it alone.
It wants to be alone?
It won't do anything. For the first 2 years, it does absolutely nothing. And suddenly in the third year, it'll take off.
Okay, just don't. Shall I fertilize it a little bit or what?
In the spring, yep. It should be in a good soil, you know, good, fertile, well-drained soil. So amending with compost, composted manure, good idea. Flowering plant fertilizer, again, in the spring. Trimming it back.
I know. I have the support all set.
Yep. And, if it did grow a little bit, probably, or maybe it didn't. But bottom line is, if it's one of those big flowering clematis with the star-shaped flowers, you want to cut it down to about 4 inches tall in the spring. Yeah. And then, again, just don't transplant it. Leave it alone. Hopefully, it's growing into the sun, which is what it wants.
I hope so. It's very discouraging when nothing's going on.
Oh, don't be discouraged.
Oh, no. Because you know what? You may not see what's going on because it's all going on under the ground because the roots are actually
getting established.
Getting established, exactly.
Well, I'm glad somebody's doing something. So somebody else can have your expertise.
Patience, my dear. Patience. It will be fine.
Okay,
And we always say clematis, it wants its head in the sun and its feet in the shade, or roots.
Okay.
Yeah, so top goes into the sun, roots need to be a bit shaded just to keep that in mind.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling, Mary, and be patient. Thank you.
Aha.
Yes, I know. There's John. John's back.
Okay. Oh, good.
Good morning, John. Are you there?
John?
Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Oh, there. Sorry, I had to hang. I had to take a call on the landline.
No worries. Thanks.
Anyway, I am a first-time caller.
Woo! Oh, welcome. Okay, ding, ding, ding,
there's
ding,
the
ding.
Bell.
And you get your little wings.
Yeah, Frank, man, he took the bell. What can I say? Bells on holidays.
Anyway, you were just talking about bulbs, and that's what I'm calling about. Over the winter, a friend of ours has given us numerous, forest tulips and daffodils and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering, what do I do with the bulbs? Can I save them or?
So they finished flowering and you've continued to water them and they have green leaves still?
Yes.
Good. So as long as you can keep them alive as green plants, which typically goes on 6 or 8 or even 10 weeks beyond flowering. But you don't just keep them soggy wet. You just water when they dry, and slowly but surely the leaves start to turn more and more yellow. Less and less water is required, of course, as the leaves are turning yellow. Eventually, the bulbs just go completely dormant, and then I just stick them in a corner somewhere and forget about them. Then your chance to do something with them is once you're out in the garden and the soil is all thawed and you're moving things around and planting things, get those bulbs out into your garden in a spot where the sun will shine on them next spring and they will come up and bloom for you.
Terrific.
I find under trees is great. Trees when the leaves...
Or shrubs
that. Yeah, something where it's sunny in the spring, but then it gets shadier once the leaves come out. It can be quite effective. Just make sure it's a well-drained, sunny spot and enjoy them for many, many years.
Oh, super. Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call. Sebastian, do we have to take a break? We do. All right, let's do our final break and we'll be right back.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty.
Aha.
Thanks for coming, Lorraine.
Oh, it's been fun. It's not over, is it?
No, no, not yet. We've got a couple more callers.
Good, great.
Okay, Ellen's on the line from Brantford. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
I'm calling about seeds, specifically foxglove.
Mm-hmm.
When I planted everything yesterday in my light bench, I realized that it said foxglove should only be at 60 degrees Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in the light table is warmer than that.
Mm-hmm.
So I took those guys out and put them on a windowsill.
Mm-hmm.
The temperature on the windowsill is 64 degrees, which I think will
close
be okay.
Yeah.
Close enough.
But what do I do about light?
Oh, until the seeds grow, you don't need light. The lights that you've got your seeds under right now are actually a good thing because they're providing some warmth to the seed, and many seeds will grow or germinate more quickly when they're kept warm. But as you point out, foxglove or digitalis doesn't like the warmth for germination. They want the cool. So what you've done is brilliant. No, it's a good idea.
Okay, that's all I need.
Yeah, and once those seeds start to grow, once you see the little green sprout starting to come up, the windowsill might be enough light, or you might want to then move the foxglove over to the lights where you've got more control of how many hours of light and intensity.
So once we get, like, the two seed leaves, they're okay under the lights?
Oh, yeah. As soon as you start to see a little green, you just move them right under the lights.
Oh, great. Okay. Okay. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So, you know, I teach at Humber College, and this is something that we were just discussing with my class this past week.
Yeah.
Because we've been talking about propagation by, obviously, seeds and also by asexual propagation, you know, cuttings, et cetera.
Right, because this is a great time of the year to be doing both of those things.
Right. So we did a bunch of planting this past Wednesday. They spent a good hour and a half taking cuttings and doing some division, and then all kinds of seeds were planted. So everybody's excited to see what comes up in there, reading the packages, because that's what it's all about. Read the package.
It's so important.
Every seed is a little bit different, what it wants.
It's not like buying a piece of technology and not reading the manual, which I never do.
True. I just press buttons and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. But with the seed packet, it's important to read the packet.
First.
Yeah.
Good point.
Read before you plant.
All right. Let's see if we can talk very quickly to Donna, who's calling from Guelph. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Excellent.
Good. I'm just calling about my grass. Mm-hmm. Last year, it got really badly burnt. Mm-hmm. My house is like on a bit of a hill, so the water tends to run down, and the area that I'm speaking of is at the top. Mm-hmm. So what I wanted to know is, now a good time to address that with new seed, or just what should I do with it to kind of get a jump on grass growing in that area in the spring?
Okay, so technically you could put grass seed out now and it will just sit and wait until the conditions are ripe. So the temperatures are right, the moisture levels are right, the grass seed will grow. The challenge is that it's that hill. If we have some very torrential rain, that grass seed could wash down the hill and it'd grow like crazy down at the bottom and not up at the top.
Oh, that's not good.
Yes.
All right.
So I'd probably wait, in your case, I'd wait till we're into a little more consistent spring. So it might be a good month from now. Then, again, watch your forecast. When you see a big rain, preferably a soft rain, not a heavy rain coming, be ready to go out there and get that seed down just prior to a big rain event. That's what I would do.
And do I have to clear off the dead grass first?
Yes. Everybody, that's the first thing we do in the spring. If you've got lawn, you need to have a fan rake, and we get out and we rake out all the dead stuff as our biggest priority as soon as the soil is dry enough to get walking on it. You know, lawns.
Okay. Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. All right, that's
there we
it.
Go.
No more callers. Oh. We have a minute left. Oh. And all right, so how are you getting down to Philadelphia?
I am flying.
Oh,
yes,
nice.
On an airplane.
And you're there for a couple days?
I'm there. I arrive on Thursday afternoon, and there's a media event on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And then I'm there Friday, Saturday, and then I come back on Sunday, too.
Nice.
Because there's so much to do at that show that you need a whole lot of time.
To really see
it. So, yeah. So it opens to the public on Saturday, and like a week today, as a matter of fact. And it goes until the following weekend.
Right. So it's like a 10-day show.
Yeah.
So for people that want to see where you are, because you, like you said, you're going to be walking with a camera. Tell us how can we follow you?
Okay. So you look for Lorraine Flanagan on City Gardening on Facebook.
Okay. So go to
Facebook.
You don't have to even
Facebook.
Have a Facebook yourself. Just go to Facebook.
Just go to Facebook.
And then look for Lorraine Flanagan,
FLANIGAN.
Yep.
And on City Gardening. City Gardening is all one word.
Perfect.
Or just type in City Gardening and you should be able to pull me up as well. Because I am going to be trying to broadcast live on Facebook.
Nice. Well, we'll be following you and hunting you while you're there. Nice.
Okay.
Thanks again for coming, Lorraine.
Thank you. It's been great.
All right.
Thank you, Charlie.
Easy. And thanks, Sebastian. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.